we give you all the praise, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Lord, for all that you have done. We give thanks unto you, Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sion, king of Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who redeemed us in our lower estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We are here, Jesus, to give thanks to you. Your mercy, Lord Jesus. You told us it was fresh and new every morning. Your mercy does endure forever. And we receive it, Lord. We're here for you. Once again, Lord. We're going to keep coming, Jesus. We're going to keep coming, Lord. Because your mercy. You are mercy. We love you. We exalt you tonight. We're here for you, Lord Jesus. We have fallen in love with you like no other. There is none like you, Jesus. We worship you tonight. We love you with our whole hearts, Jesus. You are great and mighty, Jesus. So great, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your greatness, Jesus. We worship you.
Glorify, praise. Magnify your name. It's none like you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I glorify you. Magnify your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Won't be long tonight. I just want to read some out of the psalm. When you go to the psalm, you're treading on a place where only angels dare to trod, because David and Homer wrote the psalms. So you're kind of like, okay, can I do this, Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's okay. Praise God. Father, we just love you. You're so wonderful. Father, we thank you that everything that is out in front of us, we must have heard, seems like 1,000 times this past week, from a man that we call pastor, that you kept saying to us that you cannot lie. cannot lie. And you've exalted your word above your name. If you said it, Lord, you cannot lie. Therefore, our end is absolute. There's no variables in you, Lord. There is an absolute end, an expectation. We know where we're going. Wisdom is justified of her children. Father, we thank you for all these that you've sent. As brothers and sisters, we go into this Thanksgiving time thanking you. First, we have you. But then the next best thing to having you is having each other. And that is family. We thank you that we are one mind and one accord. We're not building a ministry here, a man's ministry. Father, we're building a habitation for the Holy Ghost. Father, no matter how big in man's perspective, make us blind that we cannot see the popularity of the world. Make us deaf to man's acclamations. Calls us to pass by them and not hear them. Let nothing stick. Father, let no exaltation of man ever touch this house. But let the peaceable understanding of the Holy Spirit continue to lead us. Not drive us, but lead us into peaceable pastures. We love you so much and we thank you for these. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read out of Psalms 103, one of my favorite ones, if you want to turn there. I guess one of the most blessed things about Candy and I receiving a gift that's in the parking lot from the Lord is that you've rejoiced with us. And that probably means as much as the gift. When I came here 16 years ago, I had a businessman's mind, and I think where I was headed, I could have made a lot of money because I was good at organizing crews and putting crews together and making the bids, and also I could sit down and talk to people and sell the job that I could get it done. When I came here, I remember the first few months. I don't know how far along. You know, that's when we had, not this stage, but you remember that ugly green carpet? And it went down the center aisle, and it's just a totally different church. But I'd pray those hours because I, you know, that's what I came for, and I'd pray all day long. And, you know, I had my general contractor's license, and I thought, you know, I can still, why don't I do this? The church is young. They can't hardly pay me anything. So I can still, you know, maybe I'll do side jobs. And that, you know, that sounded, I thought that sounded okay. And, you know, I'm probably not as smart as most of you, but smart enough to know that you have a certain income that you make that is your job, and then you want, if you're going to build wealth, you have residual income, stuff that you can go to sleep on, and you're not having to tend to it, but it makes money for you. And I was going to go in. I was thinking about rentals, and some people are called to that, and so I knew I had the intelligence to get the loans and different things to do that. And the Holy Spirit came to me and he said, and I wasn't really fighting him, but I was thinking, I when I'd lay down, you know, start praying, and I would think about those guys that I grew up with, and some of them, I knew a few of them that were making a lot of money. And I was thinking, this is really stupid. I mean, I'm behind this closed door, you know, I can't do anything, and they're out making all that money. I mean, your natural mind thinks that. And I remember this, it just totally settled it forever for me. And it wasn't like I was about to ready to do any of that stuff. It was just a place where you spend those hours and you go through those struggles. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming to me so sweet. It wasn't a rebuke. He said, son, you don't right now. You're having a struggle because you don't presently, you don't believe that I can provide for you and that I can meet all of your needs and that I can bless you basically exceedingly way beyond your expectation. And I realized that's the truth. I realized the battle that I was having with my flesh. And I knew then that he asked me, he said, will you give me the rest of your life? Will you hide yourself behind closed doors for the rest of your life and believe? And Homer touched on it Sunday. He was talking about, if I can remember right, when he got to the part, he was talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things. And he was talking about how the Holy Spirit dealt with him in his body and how that if we would put that fellowship and that intimacy first and seek him first, and then as a result, then the effect of that would be all the faith necessary to walk into the fullness of his healing. Well, that was where I was at, and the Holy Spirit said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you. So it's just wonderful after all these years to just do what you're supposed to be doing and never have a second thought about it. From that time, I've rested in peace. But to watch the Holy Spirit, it's like this, and I'm not up here and you're down there. I'm right there with you. So many of you have come to that place. Me and Marty have talked about it several times. We just want to try to, basically, you just try to get out of the way of God. Because if you're seeking first the kingdom, basically, he has to come and say, I got this. Take it. And so that's where the Holy Spirit's at. It's like Candy and I have known for years, if we get this, he's going to have to come and almost force it on us. If we get this, he's going to have to come and, because to us, like so many of you, his kingdom and this revival and the outpouring and little kids getting out of wheelchairs are the most important thing. So thank you so much for rejoicing with us. Praise God. Psalms 103. We won't be long tonight because turkeys are in the balance. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Hallelujah. Do you know that he doesn't want us to forget his benefits? Now, let's say a couple things here. And it may sound like I'm drawing straws, but it's important that you understand this. And I think you probably do, but just to reiterate it and bring it to its fullness. What we say over our church, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, that's so perfect. One, because I didn't come up with it, so I was left out of it. But sometimes we can talk about, well, it's intimacy, it's intimacy. We want him, and these are the fringe benefits. But do you know the Word says in 1 John that this is how this whole thing started? We love him because he first loved us. Sometimes we try so hard to perfect that perfect place of motivation that we kind of get in God's way. Do you know he's our Father and he just loves to be who he is? When we say the blind see, the lame walk, you're never going to get those out there in here by just telling them Jesus is the greatest thing. He's so wonderful. I've developed this intimate relationship. Why? Because they can't see that. They can't experience that. You've got to have a calling card. He had a calling card. He went out in the wilderness and he healed the sick. He drew them to himself by the benefits. He drew them to the benefits. The other thing too is to know this. When you worship him and worship Him for His peace, believe me this, the Word says, seek peace and pursue it. You can't separate Him from His peace. That's who He is. So you can't purify your motivations by saying, okay, I'm seeking You only, Jesus, but Your peace is secondary. When you get Him, you get all He is. I love Him because He first loved me. I can't separate Him from who He is. All those benefits are mine. And for Him to say it's yours, He just wants us to take Him. That's part of who He is, for us to get the very best. Hallelujah. Lord, I love You. I just love You. Your joy is secondary. I understand that there's something there about coming to Him always with your own self-motivation. I want a toy. I want this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you stand before Him and recognize Him, you must believe that He is what? Everything that His Word describes. He doesn't have faith. He is faith. He doesn't have love. He is love. He doesn't have peace. He is peace. Hallelujah. It says, forget not His benefits. Number one, well, this is the threshold, and that's why He named it first. Who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. Worship Him for that. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Would you just do that right now? Father, we just thank You that we've been born again. We bless You for the blood of Jesus. I never have a day in my future that I'll be without that blood. I choose You, Jesus. You are my cleansing if ever I fail. And You are the one who's taken away all of my iniquities. Number two, He says He healeth all of our diseases. Hallelujah. 53:5, Isaiah, bore in His body our infirmities, with His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:23, 24. With His stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. Second benefit. Third benefit, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, any one of these you could take and preach for probably a couple hours. That's not what we're going to do. Four, crowns thee with... Isn't that a beautiful word? I mean, just the word itself, loving kindness. When you combine love and kindness, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Where are we at? 5, 6. Who satisfies... I like this one. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Do you know that's what you speak? That's what you say. Will it have an effect on your life? Absolutely. But Dave brought an excellent point. Homer's been saying it for years. It's the words you say out of your heart, not out of your head. You know what I found out about worship? Probably what you know. Worship has taken so much of my confession out of my head and put it in my heart. That's what it's done for me. It's really taken the confession, that intimacy in worship. It's been like the solvent that has made my confessions in my mouth coming from my heart and not my head. And that's what moves mountains. If a man will believe in his heart, doubt not his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So those are the powerful things. So that those things that we confess, the good things we say, I call my body healed. Jesus bore in His body my infirmities. I call my finances blessed of God. I call on and on and on. You list these benefits and you say them. You say them in intimacy. You say them going through the day. You say them in the middle of the night when you're using the restroom. You say them as you go and come. You say them the last things before you go to sleep. You say those things, and they begin to be something out of your heart. The Word says it renews your life like the eagles. Now, I've read a little bit, and they say that the eagle going through a molten stage actually is a hoax, that us preachers have used it wrongfully so. But another man did a study on it that's a believer. And he actually shows where the eagle, the American bald eagle, goes through different phases right up to 5 years old, which is his full adult stage. And at those different stages, he's actually going through a place where by the end of it, he's got that beautiful, big, yellow beak, that white head, and he's just gorgeous. But at 2 and 3, he doesn't have that. But he's going through, a renewal process. And that renewal process, isn't it amazing? Dave testifies to us, and he does it behind the scene too. I know he's not just trying to get you excited. He feels better. He told me this. He said, I think the last of my creaks and stuff, my joints and stuff, left me when I was about 58. And now he's 70. Isn't it good to know somebody that walks in the Word who is getting healthier the older they get? I mean, that's a reverse thing for most people. They usually start thinking, okay, I'm getting old, my body's going to start. That's not what the Word says. You got to die one day, yeah, but you don't have to die of anything. You don't have to die of anything. You just need to lay down and go to sleep, not wake up. You don't have to die of cancer. You don't have to die of heart disease. You don't have to die of infirmities. You just need to continue to get... By the time you die, you should feel the best that you've ever felt. Like, man, I'm just going to lay this thing down. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We saw some people get delivered from a suicide spirit last week, didn't we? And that's the far reaching. He delivers us from oppression every single day. Sometimes it's a fight with your mind. You know it is. Every day. But He's there to deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. He made known His ways unto Moses. Here's the differentiation. His acts unto the children of Israel. What it's saying there is this. Moses, even though not born again, he was the man that went to the top of the mountain. He was the man who spent the time with God. He knew His ways. The people of Israel only knew His acts. That's a big difference. They saw Him from afar. Moses knew Him in intimacy. He knew how God thought. He knew how God felt because he spent time with Him. The children of Israel only knew His ways. See, there's a lot of church. There's those of us who meet with us when we get bigger on Sundays. Never would I distinguish those people. But there's a core going in that know His ways. There's another core, or there's another group that are only watching His acts. And they're saved. We want everybody to come in. We want everybody to get to know His ways. Hallelujah. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He'll not always be angry, not always chide. Neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards Him. Hallelujah. Towards them that fear Him. And when you go out those doors in a little bit, and if there's no clouds in the sky, or if there's the moon up there where you can see it any place, but you can pick something out and know how many miles away it is, thousands, millions, He's actually saying, look, that gives you a picture as you're gazing on that. That's how much I love you. That's how much mercy and grace, how much loving compassion I have towards you. He wants us to have some way to wrap our mind around it. Remember Dave talking about God flying over the sand beaches of Florida, and every granule of sand, every granule, I think it's like, 900 and something miles around Florida or something like that, if you follow the coastline. He said every granule of sand would have been a universe, and you're in that universe, and that's how big God is. He can pick up every thought. He can pick up every emotion. He knows every war that's ever come and fought, every kingdom that's ever... That's a big God. And God's saying, when you look up tonight, that's how much I love you. That's how much mercy and love and grace there is for you at all times. For as the heavens, He says, far as the east, another picture, is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Well, I did this, I did that. No, I don't really quite get the how that He can forget. I guess it's kind of like Gary was talking about. Evidently, because God has the power that He can make Himself forget. You can't forget because we're not divine yet. But have you ever looked to the east, and I'm looking north and south now, but have you ever looked east and west and said, these points will never meet? That's what He's saying. Your sins have been through it. Is there anything as powerful as the blood of Jesus? My God, it's incredible. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Isn't that cool? The Holy Spirit's working with our infirmities. Even though we call ourselves revivalist, He's like, okay, it's okay, it's okay. I know you missed it for the 999th time. You know, just keep going. You're okay. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Before I read 17, I can tell you this. I know, as sure as the destiny of an outpouring is inside of me, I know that I'm watching my own life just like this psalm. We say this all the time, but yet it sounds like just a cliche, but I don't know how we got to the end of this year again. How did we get here? I mean, it's like this year just started. And 50-something years ago, it just started. But it's like, I'm telling you, I know this sounds morbid. It's not. I'm not sadistic. I'll be dead before long. But I won't be dead. But my flower is soon evaporating. That brings me nothing but joy. Because one, I believe there's going to be something in between my passing. The other thing, too, is I can't wait to see Him. And I'm not going home in fear. I'm not going home in pain. But Candy and I talk about it all the time. This thing is going by fast. It's fast. We'll all soon be gone. We'll all soon be gone. Well, thanks a lot, Pastor. I just appreciated that. That's really good. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. And that's where we're after. We want the Harrys, the Roberts, and Julio, Kathy's little girls, and you guys, the little girls, boys, all of them. We've got to pass this on. I don't know. I really would hope that He comes in. I don't know. It may be 200 more years. We've got to pass this on. We've got to pass this on. He's fighting us, and we have no idea how relative we are to God putting back a real revival in the earth. And I was talking to someone the other day. I'll just say Homer. He's okay for me to say this. He says one of the things that the Holy Spirit's had the hardest time convincing him of is that, and I think all of us, I said that, I can pick on him because he's a pastor, but I think this is all of our, we don't really realize our potential, even in the attack. We just don't see why we're so potentially dangerous to the enemy that so there would be a vehement kind of attack against our life. There was 1,000 years of darkness, dark ages. That wasn't God's plan, but there was no power. Believe me, through what has come, through a lot of false doctrine and a lot of other things, and again I say those people believe, love God, but I can't tell you unless you get a snapshot from the Holy Spirit and it polarizes in your spirit. Those of us, by His grace, I say by His grace, that are following a purity, the enemy really would like to snuff us out, because if he could, he would deter this whole thing about, now in the end, Christ is coming back. He is coming back after a glorious church. But that could be 500 more years if we go back into some kind of dark age where there's no power. And believe me, false doctrine is trying to take it to that place. But I believe that if we hold our ground, we will see an outpouring. We will see a reversal, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. Where were we? Almost there, aren't we? 18. Such as keep His commandments, do those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless ye the Lord, His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. It's still talking about His angels there. It's not talking about me. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Angels are going to play a big part of this. They're not our go fetch. They're not our puppies. You know, go get that for me, angel. Go prepare that. I need to do, you know, this. I need to do that. Go get. That's not where their stand is at. In fact, you really can't start. You got to watch how you address and start directing things, because they hearken to the voice of His word. Primarily, their call is to listen to what He's saying, and also listen to our confession that empowers them by the Holy Spirit to get stuff done. But again, they're not like, go fetch, I need this. They won't do that. They're of a much higher quality of, but they are here for us, and they're going to be a big part of this revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for an opportunity in our nation tomorrow to come together as family. We bless. All these things we give thanksgiving for the nation that we live in, the freedoms that we have, and mostly for the word that we've read. We give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to put one basket up here. If you have anything before you leave, we would appreciate it. We love you all. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. God bless you. Amen.